Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
City News.
It's 17:30 GMT. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. I am Umaru Sanda Amadu. Tonight, I'm here with
Akosua Ochu.
And coming up over the next 90 minutes.
At the time of reckoning, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, I will not, in the advancement of self-serving ambition, declare to the whole world that I was only the driver's mate.
Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyeman throws shades and talks tough after she was outdoored by the NDC as running mate for election 2024. We'll be analysing her speech here on Eyewitness News. Also coming up, Ashanti Regional Minister Simon Osei-Mensah's war of words continues with workers of the Electricity Company of Ghana who are demanding an apology from him. He says no apology.
I'm asking, do I have to apologize for doing my security work? What I want to tell you that I asked the police to invite engineer Mark Asumani Wiafi on security grounds because of the happenings in the electricity power sector in the region.
And later on Eyewitness News, we'll tell you how the Dumso situation is becoming a national problem which may even pose a security threat. We'll be hearing from the Ghana Water Company Limited, which is saying to us that its Dabuasi treatment plant has been suffering from Dumso, and this would affect the water supply in homes. Stay with 97.3 CTFM for more on this and many other stories on Eyewitness News. And in business,
Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors objects plans by government to make Bulk Energy Storage and Transportation Company, formerly BOST, the sole off-taker of Centaur Oil Refinery.
That's in 50 minutes from the City Business Desk. Eyewitness News is live across Ghana on a host of affiliate stations, including in the Upper West Region on Tungsung 97.3 FM. In Wa Jirapa, we are live on Jirapa FM 96.1. In the Upper East Region, we're on Tanga Radio 93.7 in Bolga. In the Northern Region, we are in Bimbila on Radio Bimbila 91.9 FM. In the Volta Region, we're on Revival 99.3 FM in Tajevu. In the Ashanti region, we are on Focus 94.3 FM and Orange 107.9 FM, both based in Kumasi. In the Bono region, we are on Greener 95.9 in Sunyani. We are also in the Ahafo region on Hammers 106.5 FM in Goso. In the Western region, catch us on Beach 105.5 FM and Sky Power 93.5 FM. Both of them are based in Takoradi. Eyewitness News is also live on YouTube, live on Facebook, and we are interactive on WhatsApp 0549-986-996, 0549-986-996. Go on Twitter, now known as X, and drop me a message using the hashtag CityNewsroom. My handle is at Umaru Sanda. Let's settle for details of our stories. And yesterday, the National Democratic Congress outdoored its running mate, Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyeman, at the University of Professional Studies, UPSC, auditorium here in Accra. Akosua has a summary of the story.
As the running mate for the National Democratic Congress's flag bearer, John Dramani Mahama, Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyeman has assured him that she will not claim to have been a mere driver's mate if they encounter difficulties in the administration. Vice President Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia, while outlining his vision as the flag bearer of the new patriotic party, stated that he was only a driver's mate, which hindered his effectiveness in dealing with some challenges the government encountered. However, during her introduction in Accra yesterday, Professor Opokuagyeman assured the former president that she would partake in the party's collective successes and take responsibility for any setbacks.
I know for a fact that the nation builder, John Mahama, who is not an economist, will deliver this economic model. He thinks through what he does. He thinks through what he says. He considers advice. He is confident enough to amend his views when confronted by working alternatives. it does not rush with decisions that have serious effects on the lives of others. John Mahama does not shoot from the hip. A 24-hour economy. A 24-hour economy will demand that we pay special attention to skills training in Sanwe Juma. And that is why we are serious about continuing with the critical reforms and the improvements we made under his tenure in our technical and vocational training institutions to ensure that we equip our youth with the technical skills necessary for a thriving economy. Your Excellency, Ayebida, President Mahama, please allow me to address you directly. As I stated in my brief acceptance note on March 7th, 2024, by renominating me, you have demonstrated your remarkable consistency and unwavering commitment to inclusivity and innovation. I have heard you share with me, with the public, as you have done tonight, your rationale for choosing me again. I find this very, very touching. Thank you very much. As the Gonjas express it, with meaning, Ansan Kushim. I see your choice as an... Yo, Medasi. I see your choice as an affirmation of your belief in the capabilities of the Ghanaian woman. I will repay your abiding confidence with loyalty, with understanding, and a devotion to duty. My output going forward, by the grace of God, will continue to demonstrate what the world knows already, that women are also capable of high achievements, that we do so with that reservoir of strength, determination, and mental acuity that only those who are noble and far-sighted like you can comprehend and contend with. I will share in our collective successes and share responsibility for our setbacks, if any. And at the time of reckoning, Your Excellency John Dramani Mahama, I will not, in the advancement of self-serving ambition, declare to the whole world that I was only the driver's mate.
That was Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyemang, the running mate for the National Democratic Congress's flag bearer, John Mahama.
This Eyewitness News on 97.3 City of Miracles. Abuaji is spokesperson and communications director of the Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia campaign team. He's joining us on the line. You're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Thank you.
It appears that the last lines of the good old professor are lines that are going to haunt your candidate for a long time. The issue about he describing himself as a driver's mate. Professor Jane Nana Opokuagyemang says it is not something she would do. She finds it to be a self-serving commentary that was made by your boss. What do you say to that? Because it appears that this is a comment that would really be a difficult one for you to explain.
I think the difficulty rather is the complete lack of understanding and ignorance on the part of the running mate of the National Democratic Congress. Maybe in her attempt to try and throw jabs, she completely forgot why she was standing and took herself out of context. I don't know whether you've read or you've listened to. In fact, I think I was at the UPSA with you when the vice president spoke, and I'd quickly read. After he had enumerated almost about 50 or so achievements of the government. In fact, on paragraph 107, the vice president said, "What we have been able to accomplish so far shows that it is possible for Ghana to achieve many things that some believe to be impossible. It is possible if we put our minds to it. We need to break the shackles of impossibility and embrace the mindset of possibility. My vision." ladies and gentlemen, and it's important. He said, my vision, ladies and gentlemen, as vice president, I am like a driver's mate. I am like a driver's mate. It's a simile, like a driver's mate. But if by the grace of God, you make me president, I will be in the driver's seat with constitutionally mandated authority to pursue my vision and my priorities. So what do I want to do in terms of vision, priorities, and policies if you give me the opportunity? By the grace of God, to become president of the Republic of Ghana. Then he went on to enumerate his vision and his plan. He went on to list 70 points, 70 propositions. Now, there is nowhere in the vice president's speech did he ever say that he's describing himself as a driver's mate only because or because the government has encountered challenges. Context. The person with the difficulty is the running mate of John Dramani Mahama, who has completely taken himself out of context in an attempt to throw unnecessary jabs. Now, let's even go back to that analogy and even assume that she understood the analogy. On the trip or in the journey, in the car, there are three stakeholders. There is a driver, there is the passengers or the passenger, and then there's a driver's mate. Each of these stakeholders have clear-cut responsibilities. The driver's responsibility is to lead, drive, steer the vehicle, and take us to our destination. The mate's responsibility is to load the vehicle, provide customer care or customer service, and ensure that the passengers are comfortable and are able to alight where they're supposed to alight. It does not mean that the mate is a mere mate. Nowhere did the vice president say a driver's mate is a mere mate. A driver's mate has clear-cut responsibilities, which are not the same as the driver's. It is different from being a driver's mate whose responsibility is to load the car, provide customer care, ensure passengers are alighting and getting on board at the right places. Completely different from the driver who is determining the destination, determining which traffic light to stop at, determining which pothole to stop. That does not mean that the mate has no responsibility on the vehicle. But that does not also mean that the mate and the driver's responsibilities are the same. I'm sorry. What you need to do is to call the professor and ask her, if you are not the driver's mate on the journey, are you the passenger? If you are not the passenger, are you going to be the driver? If you are going to be the driver, then what happens to the driver that we are going to be voting for? And if you are going to be the passenger, then who is going to be the driver's mate to provide customer care, to load the vehicle and get passengers to alight? The difficulty is with Nana Jane and not Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. It was clear, it was obvious, it was contextual, it was an analogy, and that analogy was best fit for the statement that he delivered.
But you see, the vice president spoke to 34 million Ghanaians, and the general refrain is that he has sold out his boss or thrown his boss under the bus. And that's why in my initial comment, I said this particular comment would be a difficult one. With hindsight, do you think that it's a comment that perhaps you could have avoided so that all this unnecessary controversy...
quoted to you. There is no controversy whatsoever. I just quoted to you what he said. That is why I said... No, that is not true. Generally, I don't have that feel. People know what a passenger, a driver, and a driver's mate job is.
People say that... In fact, I interviewed Sammy Jenfe. He says that a driver's mate is an integral part of the whole journey, and that
absolutely
a driver's mate is what you describe as a sit-in driver,
which
and
is
that,
correct.
And
which
that wherever correct. The driver is not available, the mate does that. But for a mate
that's
to
a
say that,
but that is not true. That is not true.
For a
driver's mate, a driver's mate doesn't sit in when the driver is not there. That is false. And you know that.
In the trotter stations, maybe you haven't, you haven't gone to a trotter station in a long time.
What are you talking about?
A lot of the time, let me make the point. The listeners will tell us if it's true or not. Mates usually do the parking of the vehicles.
Yes.
At the trotter station,
and
correct?
Load the vehicle, yes. But they don't sit in the driver's seat and drive.
No,
the
they park the car sometimes when they go home.
Yes,
they park the car.
But
so that's driving. So they drive the car.
That's his fault. The driver's mate doesn't take the driver's wheel and drive the vehicle to the destination when the driver is not there. That's not true. That is not true. And I'm also saying that I have read and quoted to you, the vice president was categorical, he was emphatic, he was clear, without any ambiguity. The person who has completely taken herself out of context and thrown herself away is Nana Jane, and she's the one you should call and ask, Madam, if you are not a driver's mate, then what are you? Because going by your own analogy, if we're even going to use the Trotro station, when you take the Trotro as a vehicle, there are only three stakeholders. There are no middle ground. You are either the driver or the driver's mate or the passenger. Ask her which one she is. She's the one who has answers or questions to answer, not Dr. Mahmood Bawumia.
I think former President Mahama, when he spoke to introduce her yesterday, described himself as a co-driver when he was vice president to Mills. Could that be the angling of the NDC, and maybe that's more appreciable or something more respectful to use to your boss than say your mate?
Well, I don't know which one you are quoting, but what every Ghanaian knows that in 2016 he said he was a spare driver. He never said he was a co-driver. He said he was a spare driver at the debate that Nana Jane was a moderator. He said he was a spare driver, which is even worse.
Are you sure spare driver is not better than mate?
Do you know what spare drivers do at Trotro stations? They are the guys who are idling under the shed and playing draft until when they have nothing to do. They have no vehicle to drive. They are idling. They don't sit in the vehicle on the journey. They stay at the lorry park idling and playing draft and dummy and ludo, so that in case a driver is sick or the driver doesn't show up, they go and take it and do alala and come back and come and pack it for the actual driver. That is worse. The driver's mate has a specific responsibility, which is crucial, critical for the journey. The spare driver is idling at the bus stop, waiting only for a driver who couldn't show up. So they'll go and take their car, use it for the day, and bring it back for the actual driver to come and take it. Spare driver is worse. I'm sorry.
Based on her performance yesterday and comparing that with how she did in 2020, there appears to be a much more improvement in her politicking and in her delivery. Does her speech yesterday or her delivery yesterday, would that influence in any way your choice of a candidate to be running mate to Dr. Bawumia?
Absolutely not. I think that the electorates go to vote for a presidential candidate, not necessarily the running mate. What the presidential candidate does is to nominate a running mate they believe can complement them. And I think I've constantly made that point, that if you are a presidential candidate, you are looking for that person who will fit in and provide support for you in areas that you short for. You fall short. So your weaknesses. So after doing your SWOT, you know what your strengths are, you know what your weaknesses are. And then you go look for that one person that has strength that will fill in the gap where your weaknesses are. And that is what Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is going to look at in the selection of his running mate.
You're not scared of Professor Nana's delivery.
Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is in contest with John Dramani Mahama. They are the two people who are going to be on the ballot paper. And these are people we've seen before.
That would be your focus, not the running mate.
Absolutely. Dr. Mahmood Bawumia's competition, his contest, is a former president.
Are you suggesting that running mates don't play any roles in elections at all?
I'm saying that in the selection of my running mates, I'm not looking at who the other opponents are selected. I'm looking at what my strengths and weaknesses are.
Very well.
And who will complement me. That is what I look at.
Very well.
And so I am going into a contest. Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is going into a contest. He's looking at who is this one person that would bring in these elements that I do not possess for the good of the party and for the good of the country.
Very well. When is your campaign going to announce the running mate, by the way?
Well, we are very much within timeline. Dr. Mahmood Bawumia was elected barely 6 months ago. And so we still have time. If you recall, he himself, in his nomination in 2008, it was done somewhere in August 2008. So for us in the MPP, we are very much within our timeline.
So should we expect the announcement in August?
It can be tomorrow, it can be next week, it can be next month, it can be 3 days from now. The flag bearer at this point is very clear in his mind who his running mate is going to be. And he, when he's ready, he's going to announce that.
Is it going to be this month, next month?
It could be next week. It could even be tomorrow morning.
Very well. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
That's Dennis Miracles Abuaje, his spokesperson, Director of Communications with the Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia campaign team. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. Professor Ransford Jampo is a political analyst and a political science lecturer. Prof, you're welcome to Eyewitness News. I know that you were outside Ghana, but you're back. Did you return in time to catch the speech?
Yes, I watched bits and pieces.
Okay. So, what's your impression as someone watching the political space? She's no more a new kid on the block. Or am I overemphasizing or am I exaggerating her performance yesterday?
Well, clearly she, in my view, looked and sounded more prepared than she was in the lead up to the previous elections. You can see that she had grown and demonstrated a lot of political maturity yesterday as we watched and listened to her. And she said all the great things that would have to be said. And of course, having listened to some of the things that have been said by the flag bearer of the ruling NPP, she had all the luxury and opportunity to say things that would go or run against or contrary to some of the things that the flag bearer had been, had said. And so I think for me, she said all the things that would have to be said. My little challenge is that we all have to be real. And the point is that unless the kinds of things she said were said with the consent of President Mahama, unless the kinds of things she articulated were clearly with the blessings or they are found in the manifesto of the NDC, it must be made clear to Ghanaians that a vice president does only the kinds of things that she's allowed to do or he's allowed to do by the president. Check the constitution. The president would allow you to do X, Y, Z. And so if you are not in the good books of the president, or if you get a daring president who wants to do everything, then you may not be able to do many things that you would want to do. And so I want to hope and believe that the kinds of great things that she said were all with the consent of President Mahama. She was essentially articulating what the party's campaign stands for. If that is the case, then I think she said all the good things that must be said. The other point that I want to draw attention to, or that I observed, was the fact that it appears we must applaud ourselves as a nation in our quest to bring up women to the fore in terms of frontline politics and decision making. We have appointed women as vice chancellors. We've appointed women as speakers of parliament. We've appointed women as chief justices. We've appointed women as ministers. We've appointed women as top police heads. We've elected women as members of parliament. So if you look at all the top echelons of positions in society, we as a nation, we have tried to appoint women to serve there. Now we are getting towards the presidency. We are trying to get a woman also at the presidency. And for me, it's something worth celebrating, something worth commending. And I want to hope and believe that, yes, if she gets the opportunity to be there, then women, particularly those who have been championing women empowerment, women, particularly those who have been fighting, that women also be given the chance, will support their colleague woman. What has been the bane in the fight against women marginalization has been also that women have not supported women. Women have been their own enemies. And this is a plain truth that many of the so-called feminist groups refuse to acknowledge and to accept and to work against. Women have oftentimes worked to undermine the interests of women. You can check. It's always been women fighting against women. And so if you've had a woman now going towards the presidency, I'm expecting that women will see the need to support their own so that we would be making giant strides as a nation in our quest to bring about women empowerment. The other bit is that I want to hope and believe that President Nana Akufo-Addo, if she gets the nod, would also use her position to champion the cause of women in a manner reflective of the resemblance model of representation. The resemblance model of representation simply says that a person who typifies the features of the larger group to which he or she belongs is able to serve the group's interests better. And so, for example, a woman should be able to serve the interests of women better. And so I want to hope and pray that she would use her position, if she gets the nod, to reflect also and to champion and promote the interests of women better, and also in a manner that would advance our quest to ensure that women also play their rightful place, role, play their rightful role in our politics and our decision-making.
Prof, perhaps the vexed issue of the mate, the driver's mate, is going to keep coming up throughout the campaign season. Yesterday, Prof talked about it. The Vice President talked about it when he was launching his ideas to Ghanaians. This particular issue, you've also talked about whatever she said yesterday must definitely have the tacit endorsement of President Mahama or former President Mahama, else it may not come to fruition. The role of the running mate or the Vice President now always comes up in this particular conversation. Should we perhaps just consider the role of running mate as a ceremonial one and argue that unless the president gives you an assignment, you cannot really do much? And so the role of running mates don't even really matter in our context?
Well, for me, the role of a running mate, and if you look at, you know, as I indicated earlier, if you look at what the Constitution says about the kinds of things that a running mate will have to be doing, I mean, it's essentially not enough. You function very well only if the president is out of the jurisdiction and you are supposed to act as a president. If the president is there and he wants to do everything, you practically have nothing to do. And that is our constitutional arrangement. In trying to win an election, yes, people may want to consider who would be able to partner you very well and who would be the heartbeat of the president. I mean, of the president. If the president is not there, who will be able to work well in the stead of the absentee, you know, president? And so people look at some of these things. And then also psychologically, if you have a strong person, a decent person, a hardworking person, people see the ticket as strong. And so psychologically, it boosts your chances and your electoral fortunes in any impending election. But generally, in a developing country like Ghana, it is not really about the running mate, who becomes the running mate, that really matter. The election of 2024 and other elections that have been held since 1992 were up fought on the economic grounds of the country. And so it is the economy that is going to determine who gets the mandate to govern. How well the economy has been managed, how well promises are made and articulated, and people become convinced that their lot will be improved, they will be lifted from the economic doldrums and miserization. I mean, these are the kinds of things that, in my view, would shape the electoral fortunes of people in the lead up to the 2024, elections. But as for running mates, I think they are, in my view, icing on the cake. They will come to psychologically boost chances. But the real variable, in my view, is going to be the economy.
Very well. Before you go, a lady has sent me a message, very unhappy with me that I've let you go. So let me just put the question she sent through to you. She says that women are their own enemy rhetoric must stop, and that you are asking me to check where exactly should I check, where are the statistics of this claim of yours. And she said, ask him to just give two examples to support that baseless assertion. What do you say to that?
Unfortunately, like I said, I have always made this argument. And like I said, people, so-called feminist leaders, have always said it is never true. Let me give you a simple example. It's very, just for the sake of an example. I teach at the University of Ghana here. And anytime there is going to be student elections, SRC elections, because there is one topic I teach in social and political theory called feminism, I follow the electoral processes or election processes and the campaign processes with keen interest. Now, one thing I observe, if a male contender places his poster there, now you will see women, students going to admire the poster and saying so many positive and nice things about the poster. Eventually, the kinds of nice things they say translate into electoral success of that candidate. Now, you will see a female contender contesting for the same position. And then you have young ladies going, and when they go, they try to question the hairstyle, they question the dress, they question how the facial, makeup, and all those things. The question, you are not beautiful, your facials are not nice, look at the dress, look at the hairstyle. These are some of the things that they do. Let me tell you this. When I was a student in Ekwafo Hall, University of Ghana, in my room, Ekwafo Hall S4, we were four in the room. But among S4, in fact, there was an inner room person, so we were five. Now, each of us agreed. It's now that it's been made illegal. But at that time, people who came and they were stranded, we got to the room, and the room that had been given to us already were being occupied by other people who had not been allocated that space. But we tolerated them, and then we lived with them. So we're supposed to be four, but before we realized, we're eight. And sometimes the number went up to 10. Now, you go to other rooms occupied by young ladies. Somebody moved from the village to go visit her sister on campus. Now, she went there and she was stranded because she couldn't go back to the village in the evening. She had to go and then sleep by the sister in one of the traditional female hotels. On campus, she went there. And the ladies there fought her and tried to throw her away. So she had to go and sleep outside. Women are their own women. Women are their own enemies. In their home. Let's not stretch it. But the point is that in our quest to empower women, we would have to be able to fully appreciate the entirety of the problem so that we can advance solutions to it. If we behave like ostriches and say that some of the problems, we don't want to even delve into them, we don't want to talk about them, then, like I said, we will be fighting a losing battle. let women support women so that we'll be making giant strides in our quest to boost women participation in politics and to boost women empowerment.
Thank you so much for speaking to us, Prof.
It is my pleasure.
That's Professor Ransford Jampo. He's a political analyst and a lecturer at the University of Ghana. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 CTFM. We'll return with more. Please stay with us.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
Let your voice be heard on Eyewitness News on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag Eyewitness News.
You welcome back. Now, the Ashanti Regional Minister Simon Osei-Mensah has vehemently declined a request by Workers' Union of the Electricity Company of Ghana asking him to apologize for ordering the arrest of one of their managers. Or the minister justified his actions and insisted that he asked the police to invite the regional manager of the ECG, Engineer Mark Wiafe, on security grounds. Or the minister at a news conference today explained that there were arrangements between the Electricity Company of Ghana and the Kumasi Technical University on a payment plan following the university's indebtedness.
I'm asking, do I have to apologize for doing my security work? What I want to tell you that I asked the police to invite Engineer Mark Asumani Wiafe on security grounds because of the happenings in the electricity power sector in the region. And the fact that a task force can always come from outside to disconnect without the proper information. What is ironical is that they tell me they are not under me, and for that matter, I cannot tell them what to do, but they want to tell me how I have to execute my security responsibilities as enshrined in the Security and Intelligence Agencies Act of 2020, Act 10. They want to tell me, but they say I cannot tell them what to do. And I want to also tell them what they stated in their publication, I think on the 18th of April, 2024, that they are manager are members of the Regional Security Council is palpable false. They are not members of the Regional Security Council. The Regional Security Council invited them to come and brief us on the adequacy or otherwise of security measures put in place at the various strategic installations of the Electricity Company of Ghana in the Ashanti region. And they are not members. And we do to every institution where we find security risk.
Now, the regional minister has also taken a dig at the Electricity Company of Ghana for ignoring cautions from the Security Council to ensure continuous power at the residence where the president and his vice lodge when they visit the Ashanti region.
I've informed ECG that where the president and the vice president lodge anytime they are in Kumasi is declared security zone. Unfortunately, ECG has never observed and keep on flouting us when they know very well what they are supposed to do as security zones. It means I see them more or less either intentional or failure of duty. And as representative of the president and supervising the people, good people of Ashanti region, who also chairs the Regional Security Council, I cannot sit aloof and allow such a thing go on.
That was voice of Ashanti Regional Minister Simon Osei-Mensah.
Bismarck Aduma is National Vice Chairman of the Senior Staff Association of the Electricity Company of Ghana in the Ashanti region. He's joining us on the line. Bismarck, you're welcome to Eyewitness News.
Good evening.
First of all, was this your demand for an apology necessary? Are you not overstretching this particular matter? He did not molest your boss. He handed him over to be arrested. Exactly what crime has he committed, the regional minister, or sin has he engaged in by doing what he did? Please enlighten us.
Please, I wish we can interrogate what you just prayed before we get there. One, the minister said that we flout the law anytime the president come into the town. We want the minister to give us just one day, a date and a time he told us that the president will be in Kumasi. We don't even want to know the house even he will sleep. The area, the location, he said that even when the president can, he will be in this location. And during that time, we put that place off. We just want one, just one. Let's interrogate that one. We don't want to go what he's doing, just insulting, as I said, a lot of things. We don't want to go there. You should be specific.
Okay.
Even just one example.
Okay. I do not have the minister on the line, so I'm not sure I can put the questions to him. But he also says you claim that you are part of the Regional Security Council. He also says that was a palpable falsehood.
I don't know where you get that information from. We've not said in any of our statements. We sent a letter to him yesterday. Let me read the letter. Ray, invitation to attend Ashanti Regional Security Council meeting. Reference to your letter dated 9th April to invite the general managers as follows. General Manager Ashanti West, General Manager Ashanti East, General Manager Ashanti South, General Manager of Transmission of Electricity Company of Ghana to the Regional Security Council meeting in Ashanti region on Wednesday 24th at the Regional Coordinating Council, RCC. We wish to inform you that our general manager cannot honor this stated invitation based on the resolution passed by the Senior and Junior Staff Union of four regions in Ashanti. Two, we wish to further inform you that national leadership of the union has also adopted the said resolution. Hence, until the resolution is honored, our general manager cannot attend any of your invitation and subsequent engagement. Why did we say they are part of it? And yesterday, they didn't go. Why did we say that they are part of the rectangle? We have not said it in any way.
Okay. But this decision of yours to boycott a RECSEC meeting, that could have security implications, don't you think? Because he's already claimed that when the president or vice is coming, you do not adhere to the instructions to, you know, supply constant power to the area. Now that your manager has been invited to a security meeting and he's decided not to go based on your advice, what if the invitation he was given yesterday was to attend a crucial meeting, at which meeting he would be told that the president was coming to Kumasi and he needed to take step A or B?
Sir, that's why I would say that he should give us one day. No, I don't want two. One, he should tell us just a day that the president was coming to Kumasi, then we put that place on. If you can't give us, we don't want to go there. I cannot say he's lying because he's our regional minister, so I can't go to that way. But he cannot give us, he shouldn't break that one in.
I'm glad you say he's your regional minister. Why are you on a war of words with your regional minister over?
He's insulting us. We have not, all I was saying, we have not insulted him. He told us that we are less knowledgeable people. Today he said it. We are less knowledgeable people. He said it today. And people who are less knowledgeable people, how do we go and sit down and have discussion with him? He said it today.
So all of this is triggered by the fact that he had your regional manager arrested?
Yes, what has he done?
But the police arrest if they have a cause to arrest. You should blame the police for effecting the arrest. But again, police are doing their duty. I'm not sure they arrest people for just the sake of it. The simple
because
fact that...
Because the police sit there because he's a regional minister. I don't think if it's not a regional minister, the police can invite him. Because he's a regional minister and the police go talk to him. If not, I don't think why the police can even invite him on this issue.
But what is wrong with being invited? If he was invited, was he
what
charged?
What has he done?
Okay,
That's what we want to know. What has he done?
Has he been charged?
Yeah, he was charged. That's why he was being asked to bail himself.
Yeah, then you know what he has done. If the police charged him, then
what
the charge is...
That's what we want to... We don't understand it. If you follow the case, you take the case to court. Then we all go to court and defend ourselves.
But the
what
charge...
What is a press conference upon press conference?
Has your boss gone to court since he was arrested?
No. But we are saying that even as much as he's not going, he's withdrawn the case from the police station.
But has he been asked to come and report himself every now and then at the police station?
When he went there, the police told him that any time he wants, they want him, they will call him.
Okay, so he's not been manhandled. He was just asked to come and report to a police station.
You
and
know that's... the torture he's going in... That he's doing his normal work. I mean, if he's not even the one who...
Hello, sir? Hello? Sorry, I lost you, Bismarck. Can you hear me? Apologies, we lost Bismarck Aduma there. He is a national vice chairman of the Senior Staff Association of the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, in the Ashanti region. We asked the Ashanti regional minister to speak to us on the show this evening. He has not accepted our request. But let's remain with the utility service providers. And the Ghana Water Company Limited supplies us water. There's an announcement that it has issued, which again, incidentally, is related to the Electricity Company of Ghana. It is a statement coming from the Western Region offices of the Ghana Water Company. Nana Yao Berima Banier is a Western Regional Communications Manager of the Ghana Water Company Limited. He's joining us on the line. Nana, you're welcome to Arena's News.
Thank you,
sir. You're saying that Doomsaw is affecting you in the Western Region as far as water supply is concerned. Please share details.
Well, thank you very much, Sander. I will not call this Doomsaw. It's not a Doomsaw. What has happened is that there were some storm in the Takoradi, let me say specifically Takoradi here, and some pylons of the Electricity Company of Ghana Limited actually fell down. I understand there were three of them. And they have affected power supply to both treatment plants that supply water to Sekandi Takoradi Metropolis. So it is not actually a Doomsaw issue, but let me say, an accident which has happened and subsequently has affected our plant.
Okay. Have you been told by ECG how long it will take them to fix this particular challenge?
Yes. In the afternoon, I called the regional engineer, Engineer Safo, and he told me he was going to get back to me later. I spoke to him not too long ago, and he tells me that unfortunately, even though they've gone quite far in terms of the repair work they are doing, the restoration of power, but they will still not be able to restore power to our plant today. So he assures me that by tomorrow, 10 a.m., they should be able to restore power to our plant. So that is the latest. I spoke to him not more than, say, 20 minutes ago, not more than 20 minutes ago.
Okay, but you are saying that as soon as that particular challenge is restored or fixed, you are going to restore power supply. How many people are affected?
Oh, the entire Sekandi Takoradi Metropolis. The entire metropolis.
And because this, because this was an accident, you couldn't forewarn people, which means that people are simply without water. They couldn't have...
Not at all. You couldn't forewarn, yes. That is why we needed to put out that public announcement, which incidentally you saw and called me. So
what options are available for customers who live in that area? Because I do know that there are times you provide water tankers to help people. Is that an option you would explore?
You see, the water tankers also draw water from where we get the water from. So once they are not working, I mean, there's no water coming to town. So there's nowhere for anybody to fetch water, the tankers to go and fetch water. The sources of water are all out because of power outage. So it's only our prayer that just as the engineer promised, tomorrow by 10, or possibly earlier, if you can get it, the power will be supplied, will be restored, so we can resume water supply. For our part, we don't have any problem at all, but it's just because of power. But we are not in any way blaming this city, because even when the I called the engineer a while ago. He said, I think we didn't in any way blame them. And I said, what can we blame them? Because this is accidental. So
okay.
We're hoping that they will be able to restore the power.
Are you also then assuring us tonight that you've never had issues with ECG in terms of power outages, the one that everybody's complaining about in this country, and that it has not affected your production in any way before this incident?
For that one, I have to be frank with you. We've had challenges, serious challenges. Yeah, at a point, our distribution manager and the production manager had to go and see their managers here in Takoradi to, in a way, plead if it were possible for them to isolate us from the general power, is it power rationing or whatever it is, they're doing so. But they said it was not possible. So we suffer just like an ordinary customer does suffer. So whenever the lights go off, our plants go off as well.
Very well.
So for that is what I would say.
All right, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Nana. Thank you for speaking to us.
All right. Thank you so much, sir.
That's Nana Yao Berima Banier. He is Western Regional Communications Manager of the Ghana Water Company Limited. The National Communications Authority has issued a statement, and it says NCE approves Starlink satellite broadband application. The statement says the National Communications Authority has approved the application of SpaceX Starlink Ghana Limited, operators of Starlink satellite broadband, to offer satellite broadband services in Ghana. The approval of the application follows the policy approval of the satellite licensing framework in Ghana by the Ministry of Communications and Digitalization. The administration process or the administrative processes towards the issuance of the license is ongoing and will be completed shortly, issued by the National Communications Authority. This is Eyewitness News on 97.3 City FM. We'll return with business news. And then on Point Blank, my guest is Beatrice Annan. She is with the John Mahama campaign communications team. She's going to speak to us about the running mate outdoor last night. Please stay with us.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
Get the details. Every significant financial transaction, every market movement, and all the policies that affect your business. City Business News. Be informed.
It's time for City Business News on Eyewitness News, brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan, make that big move and dream a reality. My name is Akwesi Ocho. Let's settle for details of our stories now. The Chamber of Bulk Oil Distributors is opposing government's proposal to make the Bulk Energy Storage and Transportation Company as the exclusive off-taker of the production by Centurion Oil Refinery Limited under the Gold for Oil program. All the chamber is urging the head of the economic management team and vice president, Dr. Mahmoud Oubamya, to reconsider this plan. It argues that the plan contradicts the deregulation policy governing activities in the petroleum downstream sector, adding that providing the necessary USD liquidity for the G40 program can still be achieved without exclusively assigning the entire output of Centio to the Bulk Energy Storage and Transportation Company. While the chamber warns that the government risks establishing a monopolistic market, which would adversely affect both the downstream sector and the general public as consumers of fuel. Away from that, the Center for Environmental Management and Sustainable Energy has called on the government and its partners in China to demonstrate commitment in expediting efforts for the construction of Ghana's first nuclear power plant. On April 23, Nuclear Power Ghana Limited and China National Nuclear Corporation Overseas Limited signed a cooperation and framework agreement for the construction of a technology nuclear power project and the upgrade of Ghana's grid. Well, this marks a significant move towards diversifying Ghana's energy mix. Speaking to City Business News, Executive Director for the Center, Benjamin Nsia, stressed that the initiative represents a crucial step in mitigating the escalating challenges within the power sector.
I believe that since contracts have been signed, both parties will make their commitment, mobilizations will start so that a commissioning of this project begins earlier. If this project doesn't begin earlier, it also means that it takes longer time to finish for inauguration, which as a country, the data shows that if certain contracts are not signed earlier or even certain projects are not completed earlier within the power sector to support our installed capacity by 2027, Ghana is likely to exhaust its installed capacity, and that may even take us to a very severe power crisis. So I think that signing this contract means both parties must be committed in bringing various resources together to make sure that within the shortest possible time, mobilization takes place, commission begins, and then maybe in some years to come, inauguration also takes place to support our national grid.
That was Benjamin Nsia, Executive Director for the Center for Environmental Management and Sustainable Energy. Now, more than 40 cartons of counterfeit anointing oil products under the brand name Bell have been confiscated by the Ghana Police Service. Now, three individuals were arrested selling the unlicensed products to the public during a police operation at Okanshi Drug Lane this morning. All the exercise was conducted in batches, targeting specific areas involved in the illicit sale of counterfeit anointing oil products. But how concerning is this unlawful sale, and what risks are being associated with the consumption of such unregulated products? City Business News reached out to the pharmaceutical importers and wholesalers on this development, Fifi Yamwa, who's the executive secretary of the association.
We are all aware of standards in the production of every item, especially pharmaceuticals. And so from the importer's point of view, or from the pharmacist, you know that when you use a fake product, you don't even know the content you are using. It could be hazardous to your health because it could contain poison. One other thing is that it also has an economic implication, because if the fakers haven't paid the required duties, then of course the state is also losing. It also pushes those doing the right thing into the other side, because they're able to sell at a cheaper price, knowing that their product is fake.
Executive Secretary of the Pharmaceutical Importers and Wholesalers Association, Fifi Yamwa. Now, the government has approved an additional $20 million to expand the left bank of the Kpong Irrigation Scheme facilitated by the Food Systems Resilience Program. Well, this follows an initial investment of $20 million in 2011 under the Ghana Commercial Agriculture Project to kickstart the irrigation project. Farmers in the Sutrari enclave, including Golden Exotic Limited, have already benefited from this initiative. At a grand debut celebrating the 20th anniversary of Golden Exotic Limited, Ghana's largest banana producer, the Minister of Food and Agriculture, Brian Echampong, reiterated the government's commitment to supporting private sector businesses in the country.
I am pleased to announce that the company's commitment to expanding its markets in the West African region, with 80% of products exported to Europe and the remaining 20% to countries including Senegal, Niger, Benin. Golden Exotics is thus poised to capitalize on the opportunities presented by the African Continental Free Trade Area. This initiative will not only bolster regional trade, but also contribute to the sustainable development of the region. The government has pumped $20 million into the irrigation scheme around this area, which is being used by Golden Exotics. The people around this community in Kasunya must know that I have also approved another $20 million to expand the left bank of the irrigation scheme in this area, which is going to be implemented by the Food Systems Resilience Program. In this area alone, that will amount to $40 million.
Minister for Food and Agriculture, Brian Echampong, wrapping up City Business News on Eyewitness News, was brought to you by GCB Bank PLC. GCB Personal Loan made that big move and dream a reality. I am Akosua Otridu. Stay with us. Up next is Point Blank.
Eyewitness News. Be there as it happens.
This is Point Blank on Eyewitness News. My name is Umaru Sanda Amadu. Tonight on Point Blank, we're talking about Professor Nana Jenopoku Ajiman. But before her, let me just make this quick announcement. They said someone sent me a message. It says there's some extra serious traffic at the Community 18 Junction under the Botiman Tunnel. So the police kindly go and attend to that situation. There's already traffic in that tunnel because it's a narrow one-way tunnel. But we are told that the issue is even worse tonight. So the police kindly go to the Community 18 Junction Tunnel at the Botiman area and help address the situation there, maintain law and order. My guest tonight on Point Blank is Beatrice Annan. Beatrice Annan is a member of the communications team of the John Mahama for 2024 campaign. Yesterday, they were partying at the UPSC, celebrating the outdooring of the running mate. Madam, you're welcome to Point Blank.
Thank you very much, Umaru Sanda.
How are you doing?
I'm excited, and I think that my spirit is high, having listened to the Leonard Professor yesterday. I think that for me as a woman, not just because I'm a woman, but she's elevated the office of vice president again. And I think I should be excited about that.
I see. NDC does not repeat running mates. 2000 males used Mohamed Mumuni. No, Martin Amidu. 2004 used Mohamed Mumuni. 2008 John Mahama. 2012 John Mahama used Emisa Arthur. 2016, yeah, of course, Emisa Arthur. By then they were still sitting, you know, in power, so it was repeated.
Yes, yeah, so 2020. We repeat. So your accession.
No, but this was in power.
Yes, by your outside, accession.
Okay. NDC does not repeat in opposition. That's what I should rather have said. I didn't add that. So why are you repeating your running mate from 2020?
I think the question is that NDC goes into every election calculated to win the elections. And so for every election, we watch the dynamics and then we make a decision. In the 2024 elections, we believe that the office of vice president ought to be elevated. In the past 7 years, you've seen the office denigrated. The office has been characterized by numerous scandals. The office has practically been left to say the driver's mate. But we believe that that's not what the office of vice president is. This is an office that Professor Mills has occupied before. President John Mahama has occupied. Mr. Emisa Arthur has done the same. And so you could see that over the 7 years, the story hasn't been the same. And we believe that looking at the level of depreciation, looking at what has happened to the office today, if you want somebody to occupy the office at a time when the nation must be healing and rebuilding the Ghana we want, then you need somebody with integrity, honesty, focus, and a high level of decency. And so for us, that is the choice.
What is
and
lacking in the office now? In the office of the
vice
president?
There is no honesty in the office of the vice president. The vice president actually approbates and reprobates. On one breath, he's responsible for the good things, and on another breath, he's not responsible for anything in government. On one,
how he took time to tell us the successes and the challenges and said what his vision was going to be.
Yes, he said he was not the person who should be blamed for all the things.
But that's true, right?
That's true and that's false, because you are part of a team. And so when you take the successes or the collective successes, then you must be responsible enough take the collective failure.
We run an executive presidency.
Okay, so this knowledge became known to the vice president after his election or before. Because this was a man that when he was a running mate, he was telling you don't need to construct, or you don't need to borrow to construct roads. All you need to do is to tow the road. In what capacity was he making that promise?
Possibly speaking for his boss at the time.
Speaking for his boss.
And then the boss comes and decides, me, I don't care, I'll remove road tolls. What can you do as running mate? Vice president.
Okay, so he's a spokesperson to his boss now. Is that what the position of a vice president is? I have occupied a number of spokespersons position. If that is it, then we can be having the conversation. No,
maybe he communicated what the man told him he would do when he becomes president. So when they became president, the man changed. You see, it's like the trotter means.
It can't always.
I'm coming. One second.
Before you ask that question, it can't always be the case. You know why? When he promised the people of Cape Coast harbour, and he stood at Cape Coast and said, people of Cape Coast, we are constructing harbour. When his boss went to Cape Coast and he was asked, he said he doesn't know about such promise. So he cannot be the spokesperson of his boss. So I'm sure that
maybe the boss changes minds. And if the
so
boss
who lied? Is it the boss or the vice president? So who? One person should be lying here.
Maybe a change of priorities.
And so they should communicate that we don't understand our priorities at a time we are communicating. And there is nothing wrong when you change your mind, but tell us you change your mind. But don't say one thing and your boss says, I have no idea. Then you, on another breath, you say you are speaking for your boss. And for Umaru, for us to be having this discussion, it tells you the level to which or how low they've taken the office of vice presidency. Because in the past, what we have seen is that the vice president will compliment the president. in doing everything. If you watch a series of President Mahama's video when he was vice president to President Mills, he will constantly say that President Mills has given me this training. I believe that wherever he's ended, I will continue, because he recognized that he is his boss, and even he as a vice president, he is an integral part. We are only having to have this discussion of the vice president doesn't do anything. It's as if the vice president is just a ceremonial leader to decorate the constitutional provision, because this government has failed woefully. Let's elevate the discussion. Let's ask people that the ticket which is won, what will the vice president do to complement the effort of the president to make Ghana great again? And I think that is what Professor Jenana demonstrated yesterday. Let's not go into a man who is not proud of the achievement. This is the first time. Even when Aliyu Mahama was contesting for flag bearership, he never threw his boss under the bus because he wanted to be president or a flag bearer. No, this is the first time we are having to have this discussion, because I can tell you, the vice president is not proud of the economic credentials. The things which he said with time has exposed him that he's not someone who appreciates governance and understands the nuances of the Ghanaian economy. He also has got to a level where he just has to find something to tell the Ghanaian people. And this is a very weak excuse. What we are presenting to the people of Ghana is a learned professor who has been a vice chancellor, who has been an education minister, who with the little she was given has proven to be a stellar woman. She's proven to be a role model. She's proven that the optics and representation matters. And yesterday, she made a very profound statement that much as her nomination will bring gender as part of the discussion, it was important we also look beyond gender, because this is a time where we need to heal our nation. Umaru, devoid of partisanship. An MPP has been in power before, but every independent institution has actually been destroyed by this government. So it is a time for us to hold the country together. It is a time for us to stop normalizing corruption and to stop the deep despair that people are in. People cannot afford basic necessities of life. Mm-hmm. Today, we have normalized corruption. It is as if it is enough to be corrupt. The competition is who has more money than Cecilia Dapa in this government. And so you need someone who comes to the office with integrity, to once again raise the level of national consciousness, mm-hmm, that the office of vice president is not a procurement office.
Okay. What is her track record at the education ministry beyond scrapping the allowances that have been introduced to motivate people? Even me, when I finished senior high school, my head teacher advised me to go to teacher training college, because as a child from a poor home, uh-huh, going to teacher training college, I would be paid to be schooling, and it motivates many, many poor people to go into, uh-huh, teacher training college. Her biggest biggest attack on her stay at the Ministry of Education is the scrapping of the teacher allowance and also the nursing allowance.
Okay. I'm happy you asked this question, and I'll take this opportunity to demystify that misconception. And I am very happy that after her outdooring and since her nomination, the MPP's challenge with this woman is not because she's corrupt. Nobody has been able to say this is a corrupt woman. The MPP as a political party has not been able to attack her competence or whether or not she can do this work. So this evening, we can agree that this is a woman who is not corrupt. This is a woman who is competent. This is a woman who has demonstrated capacity to do the work that we expect her to do as Ghanaians. Now, back to the discussion. If you realized and if you check her achievements in that ministry, she was on a mission to reforming the entire educational sector. She, continue the establishment of the new universities. She converted the polytechnics into technical universities. And so in line with those educational transformation to make Ghana's education better, the government of Ghana took a decision that let's upgrade their training colleges from diploma awarding institutions to degree awarding institutions. When that happened, you make them a university. And what is the condition of the universities all across? I have gone to University of Ghana and also Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, KNUST. And like the other major universities, what you give out are student loans. Because what persisted was that if the colleges of education could admit 3,000 students, because of the allowances, government placed quotas on them. And so some of them were admitting as low as 300. So the 2,700 students will have to sit at home. I have here a publication by the principal of the John Bosco College of Education, where he said that in a particular year, over 3,300 students applied. They could only take 270. However, government's quota to them was just 200. So this woman said that, why do we do politics with education? Why keep 2,700 people at home when we can give students the same support, but this time they will only pay it after they have a job? The people who went through the tertiary education, took the student loan, today they finish, they pay their fees with the student loan, and when you get a job, you are paying. And you see, so that was the reform. What the MPP sought to do was to do politics. I have gone around the 16 regions. And in every region we have gone to, we have either gone to a training college or a nursing college for 2 years, for 1 year. Some of them have never been paid this allowance. Okay. So which do they prefer? A leader who is honest and will tell you that we are bringing a reform, or a leader who will just ride on the sentiments of people and destroy our collective future? Okay. I think that we prefer a leader who is honest.
She's been a minister for education for 4 years.
That's so.
The NDC at the time said free SHS was not possible, at least not at that time. This government has come and brought free SHS in the first few months. That would be the biggest success in our education sector in many, many decades, if not the only the main success. How are you going to counter that? That you were education minister, you could not give us free SHS. Someone who was not an educationist comes and gives us free SHS. How are you going to debate that?
We don't
that?
Need to counter that. The NDC had a different policy proposal or approach to implementing free SHS. The NDC,
which was a slow path that you
intended
to take.
The NDC said that let's implement free SHS progressively. So what does she do? She started the construction of 123 secondary schools, which today we call the E-blocks, so that when you start these schools, children will not be sleeping on the floor. Children will not be staying in some dilapidated buildings because they cannot have access to dormitories. So she started the progressive free SHS. And what did we do? We paid for the fees of day students. And so today, she has been so vindicated. The IMF is calling for review. The education minister has admitted that there is a need for review. The last time we met NAGRAT, NAT, and CCT, and one of their demands to President Mahama is that it's about time we review the free SHS. And if you look at their policy proposals, we are coming back to what we have been saying in the past. And so let nobody deceive you. You see, Umaru, it is dangerous if you are managing a developing country such as Ghana to be engaged in sloganeering and policies to excite people rather than addressing the future.
Okay.
Because in the medium to long term, time will expose you. Today, children in secondary schools are eating garri and palm oil. Children in secondary schools are drinking tea without bread and milk. Is that the free SHS we envisage? Okay. And so this is not somebody who would just come and make promises. And yesterday you could see it. It was evident in her speech that she knew what she's about. Okay. She's not a populist. She's a woman who is coming to bring some transformation to the office of vice president. Okay.
There's a member of the MPP at the Directorate of Education who has sent me some information. I haven't verified this, but I just want to, it's something the MPP is sharing.
Uh-huh.
And they say that Professor Opokuagyeman's legacy at the Education Ministry,
uh-huh,
except from her own handing over notes to, uh-huh, MPP in 2017, feeding grant was not paid from, uh-huh, 2014-2016, uh-huh, feeding grant to special schools was not paid, senior high school subsidy not paid from 2014, funds for progressive senior high school not paid, capitation grant not paid from 2014-2016. She later recommended that it should be cancelled. School supplies as attendance book, teacher notebooks, chalks, etc. not paid from 2014. She also did not pay for exercise books, school uniforms. The GM school sandals was also not paid for. And she bought buses, yellow buses. She didn't pay a dime. Converting colleges to universities was done in 2019 and 2020, not during your tenure. Out of the 123 e-blocks, you completed only 29. MPP has completed 33. What do you say to any of these?
Okay, Umar, I'm very happy. And this is one question I anticipated you ask. You know, what the MPP is trying to tell Ghanaians, and if you're listening to me and watching me, listen carefully, is that this woman is not in for procurement corruption. You know what happens at the Education Ministry? The levels of corruption. You remember that this current administration procure math sets and past questions and paid the money upfront. And as I speak to you, part of the math sets have not been delivered. Why? Somebody wanted to chop money from there. When this woman was in office, her policy was that she was not going to pay monies for contractors or to contractors who have not delivered the goods and delivered completely. So for the buses you mentioned, you needed to deliver the buses before you are paid. Unlike the MPP where they pay for the buses and we never get to see the buses. So today, the one who sent you the question has not been able to tell you how many buses they have procured. But he is telling you that she has procured 500 buses. The uniforms, she didn't have to pay money to the suppliers who will sit on the money, give kickbacks to politicians, and then they never supply it. So she had a policy in the ministry that she was not going to pay any supplier or contractor until you have brought these things. So, you see, their complaints are that she bought these things for the benefit of the Ghanaian people. But the Ministry of Finance had not paid the people on time. How is this something that is not an achievement?
Okay, let's move on. Economy. It's almost like a precedent now that Vice President Chair Economic Management team, mm-hmm, they are supposed to take care of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Does Professor Jane have any economic background to be able to manage our economy if she became vice president?
You see, because of Dr. Bawumia, I wouldn't even advise any presidential candidate to pick an economist in the next 10 years. Because Dr. Bawumia has shown that you fail woefully as an economist if you were a head of the economic management team than if you were not. President Mahama was not an economist, but economic growth was above 14 when he was the vice president. President Mahama was not an economist, but single-digit inflation was recorded in Ghana for more than 22 months. President Mahama was not an economist, but for 36 months, prices of fuel were stable. So why is it that you have an economist and today, 40 years high, our economy is depreciating? What it tells you is that the economy is simply the allocation of scarce resources for the benefit of all. And so if you listen to her yesterday, she said her policy is to make sure that the many young unemployed people in this country, okay, gets job. You don't need an economist to know that, because we have seen that the economists which I mean, we were told it's an economic whiz kid, today has moved away from being an economist. Mau, let me ask you, when was the last time you heard Dr. Baomi at The Economist talking about the economy?
I have a different question to ask you.
Well, I thought you answered this so that was the last time you heard him talk about it?
In answering you,
for more than 3 years, I haven't heard him. If you have heard him in recent times, you can tell me.
In answering
he has run away from the economy. Professor Jenana is coming to make the economy, which is the lives of people, better.
Let me answer you. Do you know our time is up? But I have one question for you. It has to do with age. And whether you like it or not, it's something that would come up. Biden is facing that in the United States. His age has come up for discussion. Professor Nana Jinopokwajiman is old, older than John Mahama. Can she hit the campaign trail and campaign?
Do you have a problem with the current president?
He's not running.
No, I'm asking, do you have a problem with him?
A problem with him because there's no power in my house right now. But, but not about age. Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have a problem about the age.
I'm just asking you. Judging.
I know. I'm just trying to say that your team has thought about? If anything at all, her age symbolizes a woman that has gone through the mill, a woman that has been part of this political system. Yesterday, she made the profound statement that I have been around for long. And so for her age, it should tell you that she's been around for long. She's experienced democratic dispensation and military dispensation. And with her age, she's telling you that never has she seen this level of denigration.
Well.
The president is older than the running mate. He's still even in charge of affairs. The running mate is very strong. Look at her. Yesterday, she delivered an 18-page document without sweating. The younger people were sweating everywhere. It tells you that she's very strong.
This shit you are throwing, it's okay.
I'm just telling you.
Thank you. Beatrice Annan is a member of the communications team of the John Mahama campaign team. That would be it for Eyewitness News tonight. My name is Umaru Sandamado. I did this with Akosua Autry. Production by Kobna Wilson, Sami Wiafi, Beverly London. And technical support from Daniel Kwashi and new media support from Edwin Kwakofi. We'll return tomorrow at 17:30 GMT. Thank you for listening and have a good night.
City News. We speak first. Reach our hotline on 0302-224959 and get interactive on Facebook, City 97.3 FM, and on Twitter at City 973.